Romans chapter 8, go to verse 19. You don't have to have any qualifications to pray. You never get too old, you're not too young, you're not too experienced, you're not too inexperienced. If you can't do anything else, you can do the most powerful thing there is. You can talk to God. Amen? We need more people talking to God than we do doing anything else in this church. There's not a time in my life in ministry that I can't tell when I walk into a praying place and a non-praying place. I used to call this little room, they used to call me every so often and say, will you come down on Friday night and preach at this little church in Dalton? And I called it the Blue Room. And the reason I called it the Blue Room is because inside that church they had blue carpet, blue seat on the pews were blue, the walls were blue, the pulpit was blue. It's too blue. Hey, man, it was just too blue. I was against the color. I'm like, man, y'all know they need to offset some of this. This is just too blue. Hey, man. And when I walked in there, and man, they had this prayer. They said, let's go back here in the prayer room. There's about 30 men in there, and they was in a closet about the size of that room right there. And I didn't like that either because I don't like to be too close to people. And they were like, we're going to pray, and everybody was praying, and you could – just let's say this, we're all real close. And at the end of it, they said, let's all get you in the center. We're going to pray for you. And I'm like, okay, awesome. This is all great. Spiritual stuff's great. And they prayed for me. But I came out, and every time I preached, the preacher like four times, they got more out of me than anybody's ever got out of me in my life. I would preach for 2 hours down there, and I'm sitting there going, I wish y'all hadn't prayed so much. I'm going to have a hard time driving home. Praying is powerful. Praying will make the singing better. It will make the preaching better. And it will intensify how God operates amongst the people who visit this church. The member and the visitor. If you pray sincerely enough and get a hold of God, do you know you can create an environment that lost people cannot hardly stand to be in? They will either have to run out of here or they'll have to come to the altar and get saved. They'll have to come in here and deal with God instead of dealing with us. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be said about our church? I want people to say, I dare you to go up there. I dare you to try to go sit in that service. Amen? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it, to be heard of that way? Let's just get into this. I'm not going to spend too much time on where we're at, but there's an important part here. I hope this helps you too. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 is kind of where we're going to be, and we're going to try to get three verses in. And I'm just kind of help you tonight from this point of view. For the earnest expectations of the creature. Do y'all see that? For the earnest expectations of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Do y'all see that? Do y'all know what that means? The creation, all of God's creation, everything God made, the whole earth is groaning, is waiting, is anticipating the day that God comes and gets His children. Man, ain't that awesome? Do you know who said amen the loudest in here? A biologist. That's awesome. If you can get a biologist to say amen, that the earth is saying, come Lord Jesus, so everybody else in here should say, hey, He must be on to something. Because God made everything, designed everything, created everything. And sometimes we sit here and think, we think the world has got like a blueprint on earth. We think they got ownership. They worship the earth. No, 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 no. The earth worships God. Ain't that cool? Y'all know every fiber of this earth is sitting on edge, not waiting for the last day of the earth. They're waiting for the second coming of Christ. Every leaf on every tree, every water, every molecule, every flame, every animal is sitting and going, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. Didn't give them a soul, but gave them a desire to see God. Whew. Some of y'all are skeptical, but I'm going to ruin your skepticism. Because today, when I was preparing the last part of this message, God gave me 3 different places to go to. And then about 30 minutes before I got here, God gave me 100 different places to go to. I ain't going to give you all 100 of them. Some of y'all are like, phew. But I'm going to give you some, because I was like, oh, wow, God, you could have, you know, you just stuck with the 2 or 3. Because I began to worship before I got here. And I don't like when I do that, because sometimes I think, man, I wonder if there'll be anything left. There is. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know, not think, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Did you know that? The whole creation groaneth until now? And God, watch this right here, verse 23, and not only they, not only the earth, what? Not only them, the earth, but ourselves, us, believers, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. God let us have one part of the Godhead on the inside of us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. It don't happen every day. It don't happen every day. But it happens a lot. Amen? It happens a lot. The earth sitting there going, what? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Our bodies, every once in a while, there'll be some days that I go, God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready. This is beautiful. I love this. Love my family. Love what I'm getting to do. But if you was just to happen to step outside that eastern sky, wouldn't be totally messed up about it. Amen? I mean, I wouldn't be against it. Amen? If you wanted to just come down and just, you know, just zip me on up out of here, take care of everybody that's around me. But if you wanted to come get me, Lord, I'd be all right with that. I'm kind of in the mode. Me and you, we're together today. There have been some days where I have got to do what God has called me to do, and I've got in the vehicle and began to worship with God on the way home and got into a place with Him, and I have literally said it out of my mouth, God, if today's the day, we'd be pretty good. I'm ready. Because I love you. I almost can't stand to be away from you. Because God's good. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't got no death wish, but my goodness, I've got in the presence of God before, and I thought to myself, man, this old body can't handle this. I want to come home. And God will say, just wait a little while. You got some more stuff to do, but praise God, I'm with you. I'm with you. Amen? We have all people. We should have to be able to give an answer for, why are you so happy? Why are you so content? Everybody's talking about, this has got to be the end of the world. These are the end of the world times. These are the end times. Well, share the gospel if you're that worried about it. Share the gospel. Share your testimony. But you should have a big old smile on your face going, I know how it ends. I know. Man, it ain't like we lose. God steps out, calls us up, we get into the fight, we really don't fight, God wins it all, we spend the rest of eternity in glory. Wow! I'm sitting over here going, man, oh man, it's the end times, it's almost like it's about to happen. Well, what about Revelation? What about it? It says we win. It says we win. Some of you go, you gotta, man, aren't you scared? I'm scared for the people that are lost. I'm petrified for them. But for as a child, that's my daddy who's coming. That's my brother who's coming. That's my inheritance I'm getting. I've got more in glory than I got here now. Some of you that got mothers and fathers and children in glory, praise God, you should think, my God, I can't wait to see them again. Man. We've got a promise. We've got a treasure hidden in these earthen vessels. My gosh, my tent stakes ain't drove too deep. I don't care about this. I'm good. When I hit 40, I started to realize I'm not living forever. I was fooled at 39. Some of y'all should amen me better than that. You can lie to yourself. When you get up some days, you're like, I can't even believe I'm up. I'm here. I'm still in the game. Here comes Jesus. Jesus says, the whole earth groans. And I said, God, show me. He said, I can show you a million different places. But he showed me two right off. He said, the first one was, when you remember when Jesus walked on the water? Amen. You're not supposed to be able to walk on water, Gary. Water ain't supposed to let you walk on it. I guarantee you, if water isn't frozen, if it's a regular day and water's not frozen, just go try to walk on any of it. You're going to sink into the water. But when God did it, you know what water said? That's God. We're going to do something different. We're going to bind together, and we're going to let him stand on us. He shouldn't be able to do this. One day, when Jesus was walking by, he was going into Jerusalem, and there was a fig tree there, and it had leaves. And Jesus went by, and you know what he said? He had an expectation of it having some fruit. I'm thinking that's like us. We got a lot of leaves, but we ain't got a whole lot of fruit. We look like something, but when it comes right down to it, we don't have anything to give away. Whew, Lord help us. Jesus walked up to that expecting to have figs. Looked at it and said, you're cursed. Because you showed me something that you thought you were, but you're not. Never again will you even be able to fool anybody. They walked into Jerusalem and walked back out. And that fig tree was dead. You know what that fig tree said? From the roots to the leaves, said, I quit. Amen? Because God is in control. Then I got to thinking, is God in control of everything like that? Does the whole earth really worship God? And I got to thinking back, way back in the day, way back when Noah built the ark. Noah built that ark. He told him one day, there's going to come a rain. He built that thing on the top of a mountain. He said, it's going to come a rain so big that it'll flood the whole earth. He was building a boat on the top of a mountain, and it never rained before. Amen? He starts building that ark, and people walking by, looking at him going, what are you doing? I promise you, if he'd have said, I'm building Club Noah, he could have sold that thing out, done weddings in it. Amen? He could have said, we're going to do weddings, we're going to do club, we're going to do parties, we're going to do things like that, and man, you just come on up. You know what he said? He made this mistake. He didn't make a mistake. He has done what God's told me to build it. There's coming a flood. God's not pleased with man, and he's going to destroy everything on this planet. And all of a sudden, one day out of the clear blue, guess what happened? Animals start showing up. I don't know if you know anything about animals or not. But some of the things that showed up should not show up. Some of the things that don't get along got along. All of a sudden you turn around and you got every kind of animal showing up to the party. And just walking on board. You know what they were saying? God, I hope you get this. I know it's elementary preaching, but praise God, some of the elementary stuff should make you shout too. Why are you showing up two by two, walking on the boat, getting ready for what God's about to do? Because he's God. We've got to. That'll make you shout. If a monkey can do it, can you? If a monkey can take orders from God, can we? You know how monkeys go to the zoo sometimes, just spend a little time. Somebody will say, we're related to monkeys. You might be, but it ain't me, buddy. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But praise God, those y'all, they walked right on there. Cats, dogs, birds, bats, everything. You know what they all did? Where you have us? Rode on the ship till 40 days, 40 days. Door open, walked out, and do what they normally do. Whew. That's God. I start reading, I said, man, God, you're amazing. He goes, yeah, but guess what? I got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego too. Some of y'all sitting here think, man, I've read that story a million times. Fire is fire. Until God. Fire should have destroyed them men. It should have destroyed them. But what fire said was, we ain't going to do what we normally do. We should consume everything on them. But what it did do, it consumed the things that had them bound, and it didn't touch anything else, and even the smell of smoke wasn't even on them. God, I don't know about you. You can't even go to a campfire and not come in your house and smell like smoke. These boys were cast into a fire that killed the men that cast them into the fire. And they walked out the other side and they said, we don't even smell smoke on you. Because fire, God ordained it. God called it. It is, God says, you know what? I don't want you to burn them. Fire said, okay. Because you're God. That's your God. Amen? One day, there was a fight so big and so bold that was going on that all of a sudden they said, you know what? We want to keep fighting. And God said, okay, the sun, you stay up until they're through fighting. You know the sun doesn't just, I mean, the earth, it's rotating the whole time. It don't get a choice of stopping and going. It just does. But the whole earth one day just says, let's just stop. Let's just stop right here. Why? Because God said to. It just stops. And the sun stays up until the enemy's defeated. And all of a sudden says, go. And her says, okay. Let's get to turning again. Amen? Hezekiah got in such a bad spot with God. He was sick and dying. Rolled over against the wall. The prophet told him, you are going to die. Put your house in order. Everybody around him, he's a dead man. He rolls over against the wall. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it tells you everything you need to do with God. If you can't get alone as you can get. Amen. He's a room full of people, doctors, people watching over him, people trying to take care of him. And he's like, I can't get out of here. He just rolls over against the wall and says, God, you know who I am. And I know who you are. And God says, tells the prophet, turn back around and go back up there and tell him I'm going to add 15 years to his life. I love Isaiah. I love that whole message because you know what? Isaiah is awesome. You're dead. Walks straight out of the room. Gets down into the courtyard. He's going to live. Turns right back around. You're going to live. He don't care what that man thinks about him or anybody else as long as he's telling what God tells him to tell him. Amen? Then all of a sudden, Hezekiah makes a, he said, what would be a good sign for this to be happening? Because Hezekiah's like, I want to know what's going on. He said, we got a little sundial out here. If the sun goes up, that means the sun's rotating in a normal way. It's going up. He said, well, what if it, what, that's a small thing. If it goes up, it's going to go up anyway. What if we get it to come back? I just told you about the earth stopping. This one's, the earth's got to stop and then hit in reverse. Stop and go forward. And it says it happened. And Hezekiah got 15 more years. All that tells me this whole earth sits and goes, whatever God says is what God wants, is what God gets. And all the earth, and it should be every believer. Can I give you the last one? Can I give you, can I? Yes, preacher, you can. It's your job. God said, Jesus said, he was riding into the temple. He was riding into Jerusalem, and they were all worshiping in the temple. It's one of the best stories in the Bible. It's right before he's about to be crucified. He rides in to Bethlehem and they take in the palm trees. Hosanna, Hosanna, saved now. He's getting worship. People are laying down their coats and their stuff on the ground. They're worshiping him because God needed to be worshiped before he got crucified. Nothing was going to stop it. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious elite, walked out of the temple. Walked out of the temple. You know what they told him? You tell these people to be quiet. We're in there trying to worship God. while God was riding by, there's going to be a lot of people worshiping God when Jesus comes back and takes the church home. Because they're going to think they're worshiping somebody they're not. It's Jesus or nobody. When they come out there and Jesus looked at them, here's where I'm in. And Jesus, they come out there and he said, "You tell them to be quiet." It's what he said, Ed. He said, "If these people hold their voice, the rocks will cry out." You know what he was saying? Rocks will worship me. Listen to me, friend. Don't let no rock out-worship you. When you get in the presence of God and you know God wants your worship and your heart, and your praise, and your words, my God, don't let some rock out here in the parking lot be out-worshiping you. Why don't you just do something you ain't never done before and say, "Thank you. Thank you for saving an old wretch like me. Thank you for loving me when I was unlovable." My God, wouldn't it be amazing at the end of this world, the rocks and the earth would say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." The people of this world, us, should be worshiping the most. Let's all stand.